Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I present one of the deepest studies in the 8th chapter of Romans. What a thrill to be able to give you scriptures that will help you become a mighty person of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Your faith is built up when you pray in tongues. Holy Spirit speaks to you through tongues to give you answers and to comfort and teach you. Holy Spirit gives you life and peace, and He sets you free from the law of sin and death. He gives you confirmation that you are no longer a child of slavery, but you are accepted as a son and daughter of God. And you are a joint heir with Jesus of everything that the Father has. That's reason to rejoice. Now let's join the program.
Yesterday we talked to you about baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it is such an important thing. And Lord God, I just lean on you today to help us continue in this deep teaching. Lord, we need this. We can't go on just barely inside the kingdom, barely inside the door. We got to have more than we've had. So I thank you today for opening up the eyes of our understanding so we can receive these deep truths about Jesus, about the Word, about Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Darren, I believe so many people, they feel incomplete. Some wander through life feeling so empty. And I believe they're searching for something deeper, the depths of the mind of God. We're going to go into Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 2. These are such pivotal chapters in learning more about Holy Spirit. And we want you not only to seek the gift. We don't want you to be seeking just the gift. We want you to be seeking and hungry for Holy Spirit in your life. That's the important thing. And Darren, I know there are such benefits of speaking in tongues. We have one report from Dr. Carl Peterson of ORU in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he's a brain specialist who was doing research on the relationship between the brain and praying or speaking in tongues. And here are some amazing things which were discovered. Through research and testing, Dr. Peterson found that as we pray in the Spirit or worship in the Spirit, our heavenly language, there is activity that begins in the brain. As we engage in our heavenly language, the brain releases two chemical secretions that are directed into our immune systems, giving a 35 to 40% boost in the immune system. This promotes healing within our bodies. Amazingly, this secretion is triggered from a part of the brain that has no other apparent activity in humans, and we don't use it. It only is activated by our Spirit-led prayer and worship. This is so amazing, Darren. And, you know, we had one power partner ask us, why do I confess the Word? You know, what makes that healing for me? And he had experienced immediate healing in his body because he confessed the Word. Well, this is Spirit. And you were explaining to him, this happens in our spirit man, and our spirit man should be the controlling factor in our body and our mind. This is such a wonderful thing to find out, that there are secretions in our brain when we speak in tongues that help our physical body.
Well, you know, also on the negative side, if you speak negatively and you're around a lot of negativity, you'll probably end up getting sick. And that's happened to me, let me tell you. But, you know, sometimes I'm down. I've been whacked, or I've been working too hard and haven't given enough attention to rest and relaxation and some diversion. And I have to go over to Jude, and that's a little chapter, little book just before the book of Revelation. In the 20th verse, and there's only one chapter in the book of Jude, it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm talking here about getting edified. Sometimes my spiritual battery is down for the reasons I just mentioned. Maybe I'm tired, I'm distracted, I haven't kept up my Bible reading, and I know better. But, you know, the human side sometimes just takes center stage, and our focus gets so much on all the things we have to do.
Everything,
all the
we
schedules.
Have to eat. All the food.
Well, don't forget eating.
We got to eat.
Here we are on an Atkins diet, and we're talking about food. But, You know, folks, when that happens to me, if I will sit down and commit several minutes to praying in the Spirit, praying in the prayer language the Lord has given me, now who's doing the praying? Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is. We'll show you that in this wonderful chapter, the 8th chapter of Romans here. In fact, I'll just read it. In the 26th verse, it says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. See, when I'm down, I'm weak. For we do not know how to pray as we should. See, some days I don't even know. I don't even know the right words.
That's right.
But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So I can sit down and I can start praying in my prayer language. And I know Holy Spirit is praying the perfect will of God through my mouth.
Yes.
And it's edifying me. It's building me up. My faith increases. See, when you're tired and you're weary, your faith level goes down, right down. Almost a directed correlation between how tired you are and how distracted you are.
That's so
by
true.
By the way, I'm going to say this to you. Don't ever make important decisions when you're really tired. That's the time to get in bed, get some rest, and say, oh, now don't give me this holier-than-thou stuff. We all need rest. And then pray in the Spirit. Maybe you could drift to a way to sleep. Praying in the Spirit, just allowing Holy Spirit to pray through you. Change
That's
your
right.
life.
So many times the enemy wants us just to be focused on that physical part of our lives. And Darren, that is just not as important. In fact, the things of the physical are, it says in, it's in John. I've got to find it here.
Well, praise God. I'll tell you, folks, I love this teaching. I really love the 8th chapter of Romans. I quote out of it almost daily.
It's says,
a great chapter.
I'm sorry here.
Go ahead.
In John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Here is Jesus' own words. This is in red. And friends, if you'll read that in John 6:63, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. So we need to get our focus off this mundane, fleshly world we live in. And Darren, get into the Spirit. That's so important.
Well, but what about fashions? And what about food? And what about home decorations? I mean, we can get over there on all these things that we spend. Unfortunately, television, sports, we could get over here and get really carried away with that. But in the 6th chapter of Romans 8, here's what it says.
In the 6th verse.
I'm sorry.
Yes,
Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 6. For the mind, in other words, our focus, set on the flesh is death. In other words, it's worthless. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace.
Yes.
You know, I've talked to people that would, in fact, I talked to a man last week, give anything to be in peace. You know, he's in mental turmoil around the clock. He's afraid, he's threatened, he's worried about all kinds of things. Let me tell you, he'd probably trade everything he has to just have peace. So he'd know that everything's cool, everything's worked out. Mm-hmm. Folks, you can have that in your life. You don't have to be distracted and running around like a dinghy. You know, what's a dinghy? Somebody that's always worried, you know, up the wall. Well, you don't have to be there. That's what we're telling you. Praise God.
Well, yesterday we were talking about, in the book of Acts, about how Holy Spirit fell upon them. They lay hands on even the Gentiles from Samaria, and they received the Holy Spirit of speaking in tongues and prophesying, declaring truths through the inspiration of Holy Spirit, which means they were pouring forth the revelation of Holy Spirit. Now, I'd like to get into the whole chapter of Romans 8, Darren. You were alluding to a couple verses here. But right away, in the second verse, we hear about Holy Spirit setting us free from the law. And, Darren, we've got a lot of listeners that are still stuck in the law. They're stuck in a religion. They're stuck in doing and performing and being good enough to get to heaven. But it says here, the Spirit has set you free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah! What a freeing experience. And then as you said in verse 6, he helps us walk according to the Spirit. The mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. And Darren, we see here that in the 6th verse, the mindset on the Spirit, that's a capital S. So when we set our mind on Holy Spirit, that's life and peace for us.
And his ways. Now I'm going to reading in verse 7 here in Romans 8. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, it's not even able to do so.
Mm.
And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This is so important. And I'm going to tell you, I know we're talking to many of you that are Christians, you're not pleasing to God because you're so much in the flesh. You need to give up that flesh focus and get over into the Spirit. Verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Here it's saying again, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in, let me just read it over. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's one of the reasons why we're telling you, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He needs to come inside and make his abode in you, and that's very scriptural.
That's right. And we read in verse 10, and if Christ is in you, though the body is dead. See, this body is dead to the law of grace. We have crucified this body. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, see, we don't live according to the flesh anymore. We are in the Spirit, and that's from Galatians 2:20. Well, here we see the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness of Jesus in us. We're not blameless here. We're not righteous on our own. It's the righteousness of Jesus in us that makes us alive in him.
Well, let me give you 1 Corinthians 5:21. It says, and it's talking about Jesus. It says, he who knew no sin was made to be sin on your behalf.
Praise God.
That you might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. Now that means you're going to become the life nature of God, and everything's going to change when that happens. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, verse 11, dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your bodies through his Spirit who indwells you.
Through his Spirit who dwells in each and every one of us. And that's a capital S again. Holy Spirit must be an integral part of your spiritual life.
Well, it goes on to say, so then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. And if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, here's a verse I like, verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Praise the Lord.
It's beginning to talk about family here, and then it's going to talk about us being heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We've been taken out of the muck and the mire, given a brand new heart, a fresh start, a new nature, given righteousness, the very life nature of God. You talk about such a deal, here it is.
Yes, and here in verse 14 it says that Holy Spirit is our guide into these wonderful spiritual things. We can no longer depend on the flesh. We can no longer depend on the worldly system, on the lawyers and the psychiatrists and the psychologists and all the doctors. We need to be led in the Spirit by Holy Spirit. That's so important, Darren.
Well, now, when we're saved, we're taken out of slavery. But here's what verse 15 says. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. See, now, when you don't know Jesus, fear is a part of your life, big part of your life. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, Daddy. Mm-hmm. When we can look up to our Heavenly Father and know that we don't have a sense of guilt, fear, condemnation, or inferiority, that's the way I describe righteousness. I can walk into the throne room and do business with my Father without introducing myself, without going through a long list of confessions, because that's all taken care of. See, I can say, Daddy, I need to talk to you.
Well, and that's also explained in Romans 14:17, Darren, where it says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has everything to do with our living our lives in the spiritual realm.
Now, you know, Barb, we talk a lot to people that are isolates. They know, man, I'm disconnected. I'm not hooked up to anything. I don't have peace. I don't have this. I've got fear. I've got problems. Well, here in verse 16 of Romans 8, this is a great chapter, folks. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. The Spirit himself, that's Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. See, we're not out there all lost and orphans and everything else. And if children, we're heirs. And heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Let me tell you, when you come to Jesus, you're going to have to suffer with him. The world's going to persecute you and come after you and tell you you're nuts and all this kind of stuff. But in verse 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us and to us. That's great. That's great information.
Yes, that's right. For, and it goes on and it completes itself in verse 19, For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. These are mighty, powerful people that are going to go out and rule and subdue the earth. God, the whole creation is waiting for this, Darren, for the people of God to rise up and be powerful through the Holy Spirit. All of creation is waiting for this.
Now, Barb, I'm going to say this is kind of deep teaching the Lord's just given me recently, but you know, when we have our space, we say we have a circle of influence here. That's my space. That's where I feel at home. Well, and all of us have that. Some of us have larger spaces than others. But it says, anxious long of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him, meaning who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also would be set free from its slavery into corruption, into the freedom of the glory of the children of God.
Well, it says slavery to corruption.
Right.
It was enslaved by corruption because of sin. Yes.
Exactly. Now, here's what I'm going to say to you. You need to dispossess the enemies that are in your territory. You say, well, who are they? Well, it could be that your territory is saturated with fear, with anger, with bitterness, with lust. You need to kick all of those evil spirits out of your territory. Now, that's what dispossession means. And that's what happened in the Old Testament. God said, all right, here's your promised land. You're going to go in there, but you're going to have to dispossess the inhabitants that are there. You're going to have to kill them and throw them out.
Because the kingdom takes it. I mean, the violent take
that's
the kingdom
right.
by
that's
force.
Right.
That's right.
No, see, some of you believers have never done that. So you're in a cold war with the enemy. You've allowed the enemy to stay on your land. Say it that way. Let's suppose that you have a city lot and you say, well, this is my lot. I've got fences all around my place. Well, you're not going to allow an enemy that's there to destroy you to stay. You're going to say, hey, you take that gun and you get out of here in the name of Jesus, or that sword or that knife or whatever it is. You're not going to set fire to my house and burn it down. I'm not going to allow you to stay on my turf. So you throw them out. Or if you can't do it, you get the police to do it. But you're going to bring in some power and authority and get it done. Now, let's speak strictly in spiritual terms. Let's say that you have a circle of influence. I'm telling you, I believe that's your territory. All right? You need to dispossess. In other words, those that have been possessing part of your territory, you need to say, you can't stay anymore. I bind you, and you're using now the keys of the kingdom listed in Matthew 16:19. And this is not hard to understand. But you say, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, spirit of anger, spirit of lust, spirit of fear, spirit of hate, spirit of jealousy. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave, and I throw you out. Get out of my territory. You're not welcome here. And I put a bloodline, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, around my turf. Now, you're not allowed to be here anymore. You're an illegal alien. I didn't invite you here, and now I'm dispossessing you. You can no longer possess any part of my turf. Now, I think we can understand that. I really do. But some of you have never taken the time to do that. Of course, you probably haven't had teaching on that. But now we can say, man, I'm going to cleanse my territory, and I'm not going to allow any illegal alien to stay here. Now, I'm talking to you in spiritual terms. But those demons are just as real as people. Get rid of them. Get them out of there.
You're so right, Darren, because when Satan took over this earth, when man gave it to Satan in the garden, the whole earth was under subjection to slavery and corruption. The whole earth was in corruption. And there is one group of people that can free this earth from the slavery they're in. And we're it. And if we don't prophesy and if we don't speak forth the truths that Jesus is giving us through prophetic utterance and through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this earth will not be free. And we do have that authority given to us by God himself.
No, we also have the authority, but we also have not only a right to use that, but we have a responsibility.
Absolutely.
Now, I have some relatives, in fact, they're rather close relatives, that in their circle of influence, there is a spirit of infirmity. They're sick all the time. I'm serious. And they have some real serious things happening. In fact, one of these individuals has almost a major breakdown of some kind every year. And his concern, and I just talked to him the other day, he said, oh, I got to have good insurance, man, I'm telling you. And he waited until in his retirement program they would pay for all of his insurance clear through his retirement. And he said, well, now I can relax. I got that taken care of. Why is that such a fixation? Because he's not known how to or taken authority over the spirit of infirmity and sickness that's been in his territory. And I've known this guy for many, many years, probably 40 years I've known him, and he's been sick in a major way almost every other year. Major operations, major physical breakdowns. I don't even know how he's going to live very long, and he is now retired, but I don't know how long he's going to last.
Well, you know, God knows that we're going to be weak, and there's times that we're going to be infirmed. There's going to be infirmity in our lives, but he's given us Holy Spirit, and I love what you said. You read Romans 8:26 before in this,
exactly,
in this program. I love this. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Now, he's so willing to help this man that you've known for 40 years. He's saying, I'm powerful enough to help you to become strong. Just lean on me. Just give in and lean on me.
But you know why this man's not going to get it?
Why?
Number one, he doesn't have a teachable spirit. Number two, he doesn't have the master teacher, Holy Spirit, to help him.
That's true. Yes, we're talking about Holy Spirit, aren't we? So here in verse 26 of Romans 8, we're saying, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. Do you see that? He doesn't expect you to be Superman or Superwoman. He doesn't. He knows that we have such a battle going on most of the time in our lives that our focus is split. But here he says he wants to help us in our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, and we don't. And sometimes Darren and I, we are just so lost for words. We don't know how to pray for some of you who have called and sent letters, and we go to Holy Spirit and we say, Holy Spirit, how do we pray for this person? And he says, do you know what he says to us? Pray in the Spirit first, and you will receive truth in the English. So that's what we do. We pray for you in the Spirit, because it says the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Oh, hallelujah. He searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He, Jesus, who searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He knows what the will of God is for you. And so in the ensuing days, we're going to go into 1 Corinthians 2 and see that Holy Spirit who lives in us, who should be our intimate friend, who we call upon all the time, he goes into the very depths of the mind of God. I mean, where else? You know, we talk about getting more computer savvy and getting more programs and updating our programs and getting more education in the college. You know, we have some friends our age, senior citizens, who are going back to college because they have to learn more. Do you know we have the greatest of teachers here? We have Holy Spirit. In fact, John says in 1 John 2:27 that you have no need of anyone in this world to teach you. Do you know why? Because Holy Spirit is there to teach you. Let me quote this to you. It says in 1 John 2:27, as for you, the anointing which you received from him, from Jesus through Holy Spirit, abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, his anointing in you is going to teach you as you ask. Spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding and knowledge, spirit of revelation knowledge, teach me. I know some of you have never done that. You have never gone to the Lord and says, teach me, Lord. All you've had is say, help me pay my bill. Help me get this bill paid. Help me get through this horrible situation. You haven't asked Holy Spirit. But Darren, here it says that he's going to search the heart and the mind of God through Holy Spirit in verse 27. And then in verse 28, the will, he says he's going to intercede for the saints according to the will of God. Do you know what the will of God is for you today? Do you know what the will of your Father is for you? It's not for defeat. It's not for bankruptcy. It's not for ill health. God says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for, not evil, for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Oh, hallelujah.
Well, you're about to have a runaway. You're getting so blessed here.
Oh, Darren.
Barb, let me slip into the Old Testament and tell you why this is so important, what you're saying. And I like what you're saying. In Jeremiah 29:11, we hear people quote this all the time, and we quote it frequently. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now, how can you know what those things are? Through reason. You really can't. See, if you're going to get into the mind of God, which we have access to, You can pray in the Spirit and say, Lord, I want to know what the plans you have for me. I want to know what the blueprint is. I want to know the direction. I want to know that really that you're not having me headed for calamity, but that you have a future with a hope.
Hallelujah.
Now, I think that's so important, particularly today where people are having to change jobs and their old career is no longer there. So the thing that you trained for and you worked in a number of years no longer exists. Well, we shouldn't allow fear to get us down, because Holy Spirit can walk right along beside us. He can see, as I say frequently, he can see over the hill and around the bend and across the rivers and all this kind of stuff. And we can say, okay, now direct me here, Holy Spirit. I need you every day to direct me. And I'm going to pray in the Spirit and allow you, and along with Romans 8:26, to pray the perfect prayer through me from the very mind of God, so that I'm not lost. I'm not disoriented. I'm not out there all by myself.
That's right. And you know that God's not going to fail you. And tomorrow is not going to be a failure for you, because God plans good. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. For good for you. That's just like Jeremiah 29:11.
And you know, Barbara, sometimes it really does get heavy. I mean, and you're trying to make a decision. God, should I persist on this path I'm on? Or should I give it up and redirect my efforts and activities? Now, we have some friends that have been in this for years, struggling with inventions that need to come through, and there have been times when their neighbors even said, you know, you ought to just give this thing up. You've worked on it so long, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't give up. They hung in there, and now God's blessings are just immense in their lives, because they had hope. And some of you have almost given up, and if you want hope in your life, you need baptism of the Holy Spirit. I hope you'll get that 4-tape series we have for you, that's Old Testament, New Testament, about that third person in the Trinity, Holy Spirit. It's a 4-tape series. You can have it for $28. If I were you, I'd sit down today, I'd order that and start listening and become educated. See, in the Old Testament, it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You don't have to be there. God has good things for you.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.